If you were here last week, you know that Pastor Vernon introduced our new preaching series. It's called Grace Anatomy. I confess I've never seen that. I don't even really share it. I think it's about medical doctors. But I think the title is appropriate. We're looking at our anatomy and to see how it's been redeemed by grace. When I originally thought about this series, I came up with the title Godly Bodies. You know, it kind of rhymes, and our bodies are godly, like godly body, no L in there. But, you know, Grace Anatomy, that's cool too. And that speaks of what we're going to be speaking about throughout this series this summer. Our previous series was A New Way to Live, and we're looking at what's the instructions that God has given us? Like, how are we to be different than before we met Christ? And so this series is a more... looking deeper into specifically how do we use our hands, how do we use our eyes, how do we use our feet, how do we use our hearts and these God-given body parts to glorify God. Like, how are we supposed to use this body that God has given us in light of his redemption? So last week we looked at our hands, and Pastor Vernon shared the scriptures and shared what God has to say about our hands. And this week we're going to be talking about our eyes and see what God has to say about our eyes. So if you'll pray with me, and then we'll dive into our scripture and our sermon this morning. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much, Father, for these bodies. God, we thank you for your redemption, Father, for saving us, Father, for loving us, Father. And God, we pray that we can just return our body almost as an offering to you, Father. And we look to you, we look to your scriptures for instructions on how to be obedient to you, how to please you, how to be a fragrant offering to you, Father. I pray this morning as we dive into the scriptures that you will reveal to us, your church, Father, how to glorify you through our eyes. God, I pray this, multiply this time, bless this time, open our eyes, Father, to hear your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So when I was... I guess the first time being a father, I remember this vividly. My wife was in the operating room, and they called me in to see my daughter, right? And this is the exciting moment when you get to cut that umbilical cord, although I found out it's only symbolic because the cord is already detached. Anyway, I cut the umbilical cord. I'm in an operating room, and I'm holding my child for the first time, Adeline, and I'm checking. I do all of the classics. I like check to make sure the toes are there. I kid you not, make sure the hand, the fingers are there, the ears, the nose. And I'm looking at her eyes. And her eyes are staring back at me, and they're blue. And it was an amazing, just glorifying God. I'm like, wow, my daughter has blue eyes. And they've since kind of changed a little bit, hazel, a little bit green. But they were a miracle from God. They were just amazing. It's like, wow, we made this, you know? And I mean, God made it, but we're vessels. And, you know, this happened. And I give glory to God for this. And her eyes were beautiful. And, you know, I think sometimes we take for granted, like, our body parts. That we just take for granted, like, that they're miracles from God. Like, I just want to, if you don't get anything from this morning's message, be reminded that your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, like everything that God has given you, they're not only miracles, but they're just given to you from God. Our eyes, specifically, we're going to be looking at this morning what the scriptures tell us about our eyes. And I attempted to look into how complex our eyes are. I think that some of you, most of you probably know this, so I don't really like to share all of this research, but what I found out that our eyes are so complex. I mean, some people say that they're the most complex part of our entire body. I don't know, the people out there in medical kind of talk to me afterwards and correct me if I'm wrong, but our eyes are just a miracle. I mean, like, we, even today, like, we can't reproduce this stuff. Like, we tried through robotics and, you know, Terminator or whatever, like, we can't produce, like, these eyes that God produced. And as we're looking at this complexity of our eyes, a question should come to your mind, and this is a question that should come to your mind. If God went through so much trouble and so much work to make this our eyes, which are miraculous, it should beg the question, does God have a higher purpose for our eyes? If God made our eyes this complex, does God have a higher purpose for our eyes? It is honoring. Are we honoring God's intended purpose for our eyes by staring at video games for 4 hours a day? Or plus, you know? If I took a poll today, like, raise your hand, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but like, if you play video games more than 2 hours, more than 4 hours, more than 6 hours, like, or Facebook, or internet, or TV, or YouTube, or Netflix, hardly, like, we're being bombarded these days. And is it honoring God's original purpose for our eyes by using our eyes for these purposes? Like Netflix, or what? Nothing against Netflix, but, or does God have, like, a higher calling for our eyes? I was thinking about this. It's through our eyes that we see creation, like everything that God's created. It's through our eyes that we see other people, like this is a miracle. It's through our eyes that we see ourselves. And according to Jesus, in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, it's through our eyes that God is able to see the light or the darkness that is within you. Through your eyes, God is able to see the light or the darkness that is within you. This morning we're going to take a look at our eyes through the scriptures. We'll see what Jesus has to say about our eyes. And then I'm going to give you like some practical steps that I actually use in my own life to use my eyes for God's redemptive purposes. Like in light of God's grace, how can you use your eyes? So let me read this morning's scripture and then we'll dive into our message this morning. This morning's scripture is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. It's also found, a parallel verse is found in Luke chapter 11, 34 through 36. I felt like Luke added a little bit more light to this topic, so I wanted to include both. It's up here on the board, it's in your bulletins, and it's in your Bible. So let me read this morning's scripture, Matthew 6, 22. Jesus says this, and he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness?" And then Luke adds a little bit more to this teaching by Jesus. Luke 11:34, Jesus says, "Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Take care, then, that the light in you is not darkness. If, therefore, your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be entirely illuminated, as when a lamp shines its light on you." So let me give you a little bit of background behind this scripture this morning. First thing I want to share this morning is that these verses, this scripture, is extremely complex. Like I'm looking at this and I'm trying to interpret this and see what God is speaking to me and what he wants to speak to the church through these scriptures. I've read multiple commentaries. I've read various articles online. I even looked at what some other pastors had to say about these scriptures. To summarize my research, I would say that these verses are very difficult to understand and they can be interpreted in many different ways. Like they're difficult to understand and can be interpreted in many different ways. I will also add that there's some things that we may be missing out. Like, I don't know if any of us who has a lamp in their house. Like, anybody still use the whole candle or oil lamp? Like, there's some things we might be missing out. Back in the day, some research has been done that people actually understood light as coming out of your eyes, reflecting off objects, and coming back into it. Like, we don't really... we're missing out a little bit. So all that to say, this is a little bit difficult to translate and to understand, but there are some nuggets that we can get from this scripture. So let me give you some examples of different ways to translate this scripture. You know where Jesus says your eyes are good or your eyes are bad? Well, some modern English translations translate this word good as clear. So if your eyes are clear, you know, then you have light in you. Another translation in English is generous and stingy. So Jesus could be saying that your eyes could be generous or your eyes could be stingy. So some commentaries even say that, like, these scriptures here are talking about money. Because at least specifically in Matthew, the verse, the scripture before, the scripture after these is talking about money. So some people say that Jesus is talking about your eyes being stingy or your eyes being generous. So, you know, no matter how you interpret these scriptures, which is very difficult to interpret, there's some key nuggets of truth that I want to share with you this morning and that I got from the scripture myself. So I'm going to share those things in the next few minutes. Can worship team help me out here? Sorry, guys. A little bit of malfunction there, so. By the way, I'm sure you guys noticed, but we're at 97 Madison like for the whole summer. We decided to come back here because of air conditioning reasons at PS1. So we have a new setup and we're kind of getting used to this building again, but we'll be here the whole summer. So let me share with you like some things that I found, some nuggets that I found that were really applicable like to our eyes and to Jesus' teachings on our eyes. And this is the first thing that I want to share with you that I really saw in these scriptures. Is that God uses our eyes as a barometer, like to measure what's inside of us. God uses our eyes as a barometer to see like what's inside of us. Jesus says in Matthew 6:22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So Jesus is telling us that if our eyes are good, then the whole body will be full of light. But if our eyes are bad, then our whole body will be full of darkness. It's kind of a barometer, like an instrument to measure like what's happening inside of us. Our eyes reveal to God the light or darkness within us. So recently I bought a dehumidifier. I don't know if I've never done this before. We actually, I've lived in an apartment most of my life, and now we have a house and we have a basement, and the basement's getting kind of moldy, so I had to figure out what to do. So we bought a dehumidifier, and this dehumidifier has a hygrometer. Like, these are all these technical words I had no idea before, you know, a couple weeks ago what they meant. But the hygrometer measures the amount of moisture, like in the air. So the dehumidifier had a hygrometer, and I put a hygrometer in front of the dehumidifier a few feet to kind of like judge between the two and see who's telling the truth. Well, to my surprise, like the two, they were extremely off, like what, almost 10% off, which means that the dehumidifier is going to keep running and using up all of our electricity. But they were significantly different. And it got me thinking, like, especially after preparing for this morning's message, like, how does God measure our spiritual health? Like, I'm measuring the humidity in the air, but how does God measure what's inside of me? Like, how does he measure specifically my spiritual health? Like, does he have like some sort of spiritual barometer that he places in front of us to measure like our spiritual health? Or even like more serious, what if our spiritual barometer, like the way that we measure like our spiritual health, like it's different than God's, and they're like 10% off, or they're like 100% off? In other words, what if we think like we have light inside of us, but God says no, you have darkness inside of us? And I think this is kind of what Jesus is speaking to. Jesus says, according to Matthew 6, that God uses our eyes to measure the light or darkness within us. And if you reflect upon that for a second, that means that God places extreme values and importance on our eyes. God places extreme value and importance on our eyes. God created our eyes for a reason, and one of the reasons is to be a spiritual barometer. And that's a nugget that we can take from this scripture. And, you know, I asked myself this question. You're probably asking yourself the same question. Like, how does that work? Like, it's got, like, looking in our eyes and, like, he sees, like, the darkness or something. Like, honestly, I have no idea. I wish I could stand up here and kind of, like, you know, scientifically or whatever, explain, even logically, just explain, like, what does this mean? Like, I have no idea. But I do know a couple facts about this, a couple things that I believe that... I don't believe that the clearer your eyes, the more light there is inside of you. Like, I don't believe it has to do with the color of your eyes. And vice versa, I don't think that the darker your eyes, like, the more darkness that is within you. I don't think that that's what Jesus is saying, like here in these verses. But I do believe that Jesus is telling us that our eyes play a role to the amount of light or to the amount of darkness that lies within us. Let me repeat that. So our eyes play a role to the amount of light or the amount of darkness that lies within us. So let's talk about light. Let's talk about darkness a little bit. And that will kind of add a little bit more clarity because we want to understand like what God is looking at and how do we use our eyes for God's glory. So let me talk a little bit about light and then we'll talk a little bit about darkness. So light first. This is what the Bible says about light. Can you put up Matthew 6:22 here? Jesus says this about light, and he says, the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. In Luke 11:36, says, if therefore your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be entirely illuminated as when a lamp shines its light on you. So this is actually an amazing revelation. Like, to put this into context, Jesus, he's standing up. We know, like, from looking at context of this part, we're in Matthew chapter 6, that Jesus is standing in front of thousands of people. Like, this is his famous Sermon on the Mount. He's standing in front of thousands of people, and he speaks these words to these people. And Jesus tells the people, you either have light in you, or you have darkness in you, and this can be determined through your eyes. So this is my take, and this is my understanding of the light within us. The light that Jesus speaks of is symbolic of a redeemed life. You go to the next slide. The light that Jesus speaks of is reflective or symbolic of having a redeemed life. If you are redeemed or saved, if that's a big word, redeemed, or even saved is a big word. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then Jesus describes you as having light inside of you. Jesus says, Matthew 6:22, your whole body will be full of light. And he says, Luke 11:36, and your whole body will be entirely illuminated in light. This is what Jesus says about those who are to be, those who are redeemed. And to be honest, like Jesus uses this imagery of light, like all throughout the New Testament. It's an amazing like imagery, like light. You know, Jesus uses all of these things like seeds and trees and food and all of these amazing like things that people actually know about. And one of the biggest things that Jesus uses is light and darkness. Let me kind of walk a little bit through some scripture to show you some instances where Jesus uses light in reference to people. Like John 5:35, Jesus, and he's speaking of John the Baptist, which is an amazing, amazing man. And he says, Jesus says this about John the Baptist. And he says, John was a lamp that burned and gave light. And you chose for a time to enjoy his light. So he's describing people like in terms of light. Like this guy John, like he is a light, and you enjoy like his light. In fact, he was a lamp. Like he uses all these key words that we're looking at this morning. In John 8:12, Jesus tells the world that he himself is the light. John 8:12, Jesus, when he spoke to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And specifically, I mentioned this almost a couple of years ago when Jesus is standing in a temple court when he says this, "I am the light of the world." And the Jewish people during that time, they had a giant menorah candle, and they would place it inside the temple courts. And it was huge. It was like, I forget how many feet high, at least 12 or feet higher. You could see it all the way because Jerusalem's up on a hill. And people could see this light, this giant menorah from just miles and miles away. And Jesus standing in front of the menorah, and he says, "I am the light of the world." So Jesus says that he is the light. Peter, in 1 Peter 2:9, he gets in on this light action, and he starts talking about light. And he says that those who follow Christ are a light. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal a priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." Like, I love that. Like, Peter is all in on this light thing. Like, in fact, he's describing it as marvelous. Like, he loves the light, just as Jesus does. Revelation, this is the last one I share about light, but Revelation 21:23, Jesus this is a time, this is in heaven, and Jesus is actually revealing these things in Revelation, and he's telling us that there's actually no sun and there is no moon in heaven. And the reason being that Jesus and God the Father are, they're shining their light so brilliantly that there is no need for a moon or sun. Jesus says, the city, this is the new Jerusalem, Revelation 21:23, the new city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So this is the degree that Jesus places his importance on light. And Jesus is speaking about having light inside of you, and he says that he can tell this light through your eyes. So light equals Jesus and his presence in your life. Light equals Jesus redeeming your life. Light basically equals Jesus' presence in your life. So that's what light is. Let me describe like what darkness is. Okay, so Jesus is using these words that we're all familiar with, like light, dark. This is what the Bible says about darkness. Luke 11:34, Jesus says, your eyes are a lamp of your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eyes are bad, like your whole body is full of darkness. Take care then that the light in you is not darkness. This is Jesus talking about darkness in this. And this is kind of scary, like to think about. Like remember Jesus standing in front of thousands of people. You either have light in you or you have darkness in you. And Jesus is telling us that there's a real possibility that there might be darkness in us. What if you turn like to the person next to you and you looked into their eye and you could see like darkness in there? Oh, awkward looks, right? Or what about if you looked in the mirror, this is even scary, and you saw darkness in your own eyes? Like this is a serious topic. This is spiritual. Like this is the spiritual reality that Jesus is talking about. And it is scary. Jesus is revealing like a spiritual reality here in this teaching. Some of us have light in us, and some of us have darkness in us. And you know, just out of curiosity, like I was trying to understand this verse, and I did a ton of word study on lights, and a ton of word study on lamps and light. Like I really dove into this. Well, in looking into the word darkness, I wanted to understand like what is Jesus saying? Is he saying evil? Like do you have evil in you? Do you have sin? Like what is he trying to say? By darkness. The biggest revelation that I found from this is the word darkness here is actually used in Matthew 27:45. Put it up on the board. And this is describing the scene when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. There's the people on either side of him. You know, he's been through the torture. The Son of God is up on the cross and he's been hanging there for a while. And this is this how Matthew describes that scene. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. And that's that same word, darkness. Make no mistake about it. Like Jesus is saying, this darkness is bad. When the Son of God was on the cross, that was the darkness that Jesus is saying is to some people. And that's frightening to me. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this is the same word that Jesus uses. Said, when you have a bad eye, that darkness is in you. It could be described as bad, or evil, or dark, or lacking light. Basically, it's not something that you want inside of you. And I wonder, when Jesus was saying this, if some people were asking a question, like, I wonder if I have light or darkness in me. When God looks into your eyes, you don't want him to see darkness. Like, that's not what you want. You want them to see light. So for the next few minutes, we're going to look at some steps you can take to hopefully have some light in you. Like, I don't want any of you to leave this room and, like, look in a mirror and see darkness in yourself. Like, so I want to give you just a few practical steps, some application, if you want to put it that way, to some things that you can do to make sure that you don't have this darkness that Jesus says that you could have inside of you. Then we'll take a look at a video, a very short video, and then we'll end this morning's message with a time of worship. So the first, say, practical advice that I can give you in terms of not having the darkness inside of you is this. And if you could go to the next slide, is evaluate yourself. Jesus says, Luke 11:35, he says, take care then that the light in you is not darkness. Like Jesus said, you could have light, you could have dark, but take care. Like, take care of yourself. Like, be careful, watch out. That you do not have this darkness inside of you. Like, take care. So this is my first practical advice to you. Like, evaluate yourself, barometer yourself. I don't even know if that's a verb, but barometer yourself. Jesus says you either have light or darkness in you. Do an evaluation to determine which it is. If you're living a life of faith in obedience to Jesus, like chances are, like most likely according to Scripture, you're going to have light inside of you. If you're living a life unfaithful to Christ, like you're living a life on your own, like you don't care anything about Jesus, about God, about His will for your life, or His instructions, or even His promises for your life, chances are you have the darkness inside of your life. So the fruit of a lifestyle like that would be darkness. Like, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to have this darkness inside of you. So my first advice here is just evaluate yourself. And that should go for anything. It goes for anybody, whether you've been a believer for a long time or not. Just evaluate yourself. Like, how's your relationship with God? If you're not able to evaluate yourself, I'd love to meet with you. Like, I'm always available. Just email me, call me, show up, or whatever. Like, I'd love to walk with you through the Scripture to see, like, what the Scripture says about evaluating yourself. Looking inside of you, looking through your eyes. Like, I promise I'm not going to stare in your eyes until, like, it just writes something like dark. Like, you know, that's not hell. That's God who does that. But I will walk with you through the Scripture to kind of see, like, do you have the light in you or the darkness? The second, like, practical step, and this one we'll spend the most time on this morning, is this. Discipline your eyes. Like, a practical step to make sure that there's no darkness in you is to have discipline. And specifically in relation to this morning's message, have discipline for your eyes. You know, when I was in seminary, I used to try to take a mission trip, like, every summer. I encourage you, if you're in college or even high school, use those summers, because once you start working, you don't have summers. Well, most people don't. But one summer, I was in North Africa for a couple of months, ministering to the Berber people and just really living in that culture. And after I was finished with that time, I traveled up to Portugal. So I still kind of speak Portuguese, and it was like Portugal was a place I was considering moving to become a missionary, like after seminary. And so I went up to Lisbon, or I call it Lisboa, and I spent a couple weeks in Lisboa. And there was a mission agency there. They let me stay there for a couple weeks for a minimum charge. And so I just basically spent 2 weeks with the missionaries in Lisboa, just kind of living with them, going out doing ministry with them, eating with them, kind of seeing what it would be like to live there as a missionary. There was this one lovely family there. It was a husband and wife. They had a bunch of kids. And they basically had taken 6 months out of their lives to dedicate to living in Lisbon. Like, they wanted to see, is this something I want to do for the rest of my life? So they went and they gave up everything and lived there in this mission house for like 6 months. And so I'm sitting there one day and I'm like eating with these guys and just kind of get to know them. And like, what's your ministry? How difficult is it to live here? Like, what's some good parts and bad parts? Is this doable? Things like that. And one of the things they shared with me was that one of the difficulties they had, or it sounds simple, but they couldn't wash their clothes properly. They were like, I don't know if it's the water here in Portugal or like just our clothes, like just never get clean. And there's a small kitchen, and actually the washing machine was right next to the table, and I looked over at the washing machine, and I saw on top of the washing machine this bottle, and it said maciador. Like, if anybody knows that, like Latin or Spanish or maciador, and I was like, that sounds awfully like a fabric softener. And I was like, is that what you're washing your clothes with? And they didn't speak Portuguese, by the way. They were like, yeah, that's what we go to the grocery store, and we just, you know, nobody's helped us, so we just, like, pick up whatever. Turns out for 6 months they've been washing their clothes with fabric softener, and it just wasn't getting clean. And could it be that we do the same thing in our lives? Like, we use our lives, our body parts for, like, different things than God intended. Like, are we trying to soften our clothes when God is like, you're to clean your clothes? Like, and that's our eyes. Like, could it be that we're using our eyes for the wrong purposes? We're not glorifying God with our eyes? And I believe 100%, and especially after studying this scripture, that God gave us these eyes to have light in us. I don't think that when Jesus said some of you have darkness, and I don't think that Jesus like wanted any of those people to have darkness in them. Like, he was saying, use your eyes to bring in the light inside of you, to bring the grace of God, the glory, and God's creation, and everything that's good about God. Like, bring that. Don't bring the darkness inside of your eyes. I think that some of us are using our eyes for the wrong purposes, just like those missionaries were using that cleaner, that maciador, for the wrong purposes. I believe that, just as Jesus does, that there's a direct correlation between our eyes and the light and darkness as disciples. Just the same that you can bring light through your eyes, you can bring darkness through your eyes. We can use our eyes for good or bad. That's the way that we can summarize this. Listen to some godly instruction about using our eyes. There's lots of it here. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures here. Romans 6, 12 through 13. This is what Paul tells the church. Go to the next slide. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey sin's desires. And do not offer any part of your body to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. Not unrighteousness. Paul said use every single part of your body. That's what Paul said, for the glory of God. Use it as a weapon, but a weapon for righteousness and not a weapon for let me just retranslate that in light of Jesus' terms. Use your eyes to bring in light and not darkness. That's what Paul is saying. He also writes to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, and he says this. And he says, Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This is something that has spoken tons to my life, and I hope it speaks to your life, that Paul is actually saying our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went away to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may also be, he said, fear not, I'm going to send a comforter to be with you. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lies in all those who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Paul is saying that we're a sanctuary, like the host, the Lord of hosts. Like, we host God within us and use our body in light of that. Proverbs gets it, like Solomon gets in on this too. Proverbs 4:25, he says this, and this is just straight practical application here. He says, look forward, so let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead, carefully, so that you can carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the left or don't turn to the right. Keep your feet away from evil. Basically, this is what Solomon's saying. You know those horses in Central Park? They have like the blinders on it so that they don't look to the left and the right. That's what Solomon's saying. Like, just keep your eyes straight ahead, guys. Like, your eyes have the potential to gaze off. Like, this practical instruction. Just a couple more here. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we also have a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, like those who have gone before us, who've lived like a faithful life, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And then this is part that I love. Let us run the race with endurance, the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. The author of Hebrews is encouraging us in this room and saying that as you consider your life as a race, and you're racing, but as you're racing, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just think about that. Like, it's all throughout the scriptures. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter. Your faith, just look straight ahead. Like, this is downright practical advice. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 5:29. He says this, and he says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And Jesus is just straight out, you know, I don't want anybody to leave here and gouge out your eye. Okay. But I do think that Jesus is saying that your eyes are serious. Like, you can get a serious trouble with your eyes. That's how I would translate that. Jesus is serious about your eyes. He also says this in Matthew 7:3, and he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your own brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Jesus is saying that some of us got a plank in our eye, like a 2x4 in our eye. Jesus, our eyes can get us in trouble, guys. Like, that's what Jesus is saying. But use it to bring in light and not darkness. So the bottom line is this. We have a responsibility to live godly lives. And one way that we can do that is through disciplining our eyes. Looking straight ahead. That's what Jesus is telling us. Guard your body, guard your heart, but also guard your eyes. You know, when I was younger, I'm still young, but like when I was younger, I used to play baseball. Like, that was my life, like baseball cards, but also just playing baseball. I always played right field, and I was pretty good. Like, I was minor, I forget what it's called, but when kids play in their baseball games, I was always in baseball games and different leagues, and I was pretty good, but then I started to get kind of bad. Like, I couldn't catch, and specifically, like, I couldn't bat. Like, I'm up there to bat, and I just got bad. So the coach was, like, trying to help me. And I remember this one day, it was a horrible day. He put me on first base. I'm a right field. If you know anything about baseball, like, you know, well, first of all, it's kind of poor, so I didn't really have a good glove. And normally, at least in my experience, like, first baseman glove is a little bit, like, better than the right fielder. At least for me, it was. And so I had a bad glove, and he put me on first base, and what I found out later is he instructed everybody to drill me. Like, he's like, you get the ball, you throw it as hard as you can to John, because I think John's scared of the ball, and we're just going to teach him not to be scared of the ball. It hurt like crazy, because I had no cushioning in my glove. It's like, you know, every time I threw it. And long story short, the problem wasn't my catching or my batting. The problem was I had bad eyes. And this is extremely common, like, to kids. Like, I didn't speak up. I didn't tell mom because I didn't want glasses. And so I'm out there at right field, and I don't see the ball until it gets right at me. Yeah, that's no good. And then you imagine, like, you're standing in front of a pitcher, and they're going pretty fast, and you don't see the ball until it's right in front of you. Like, so I had bad, and he was trying to fix my catching when the problem was my eyes. And I say all that to say that sometimes it's not your eyes that are the problem, but the truth, it can be much deeper than that. Sometimes it's your heart that's the problem. It's your motivation that's the problem. One strategy is to guard your eyes, you know? Put those blinders on, protect your eyes, and that's a great strategy. But another strategy, and perhaps even like a better way, is to guard your heart. Like, what if you replace the desire to take in darkness through your eyes with the desire to take in light? Let me just say, because I think that's really, what if you replace the desire to take in darkness with the desire to take in light? And I think that's a better strategy than guarding your eyes. Guarding your eyes, you got to do that. You have to do that. Jesus warns us about that, but I do think that it's a deeper issue. You got to tackle this stuff from every angle. One of the things I've been putting into practice is seeing people through God's eyes. And this is going to sound really strange, or I don't think I'm crazy for doing this, but I just started practicing. I started putting some of these things into practice. And when I see somebody that would be judged by today's society, like an addict or an angry person on the street or someone with a mental illness, I try to see these people as a kid, even a child, not even as a toddler, but as a crawling, I guess an infant would be the word. And that may sound like weird, and it may sound like I'm trying to trick my brain or something like that, but I'm honestly trying to see these people in the way that God would see them, maybe as a child. And I begin to think, like, what would their mother, like, want to, you know, you see a person on the side of the street, and they have a, you know, maybe a mental issue, and you could judge them. You say,
oh, what's wrong with them? They should be in a mental hospital. They should, you know, you can do whatever you want to do in your mind, but I prefer to say, like, these people had a mother or father, one, hopefully they had a mother or father that loved them. And I think about my relationship with my daughter, and then I see these people in a whole new light. And that's something that I would encourage you to do. Like, maybe it's not an eye problem, maybe it's a heart problem. And there's some real things that you can, that may not be the prescription for you, but for me, it's working. Like, I'm trying to see people in a whole new way. And it is just a mental exercise, but I think it's really affecting my heart, you know, the way that I love people. So the bottom line is this, like, I don't know what's going to work for you, but the bottom line is that it's difficult. And this is the difficulty that all of society has. Like, even back in the day of Jesus, like, they had difficulty with their eyes. They were bringing in darkness instead of light. And it's the same today. In fact, I think today is even worse. I'm sure every generation says that, but, you know, we got so much stuff that we can be tempted with our eyes, like this generation. Like, I'm sure they had temptation back in the day, but, you know, man, like, it's everywhere today. And perhaps Jesus is speaking about our eyes because he knows how easy it is to be tempted through our eyes. And this is the message I really just want to home in on. Like, I said that we're in a teaching series to learn how to use our body parts, to be godly bodies, but to use our body parts in light of being redeemed by God. We want to use our hands for God, but we also want to use our eyes. I forgot to take in the light, not to take in the darkness. Maybe one more story. I got tons of stories. So I know we're running short on time here, but when I was in Brazil, like, Brazil is their clothes are provocative. Let's put it that way. And their billboards are even more provocative. So I used to bring in mission teams, and inevitably, like, we would be passing, we would be on the bus, and on the mission team, I would see a billboard coming up, right? I know where these are. Like, I said, okay, nobody looked to the right, right? What do you think they did? Like, everybody looked to the right. Like, I remember when I tried to reverse psychology, and it just, I don't know, like, but I say all that to say that we have issues with our eyes. We want to see, like, and there's temptation there, and I don't know what your temptation is, but, like, Jesus was well aware that we have the capacity and ability to bring in darkness instead of light through our eyes, and it's easy to do that in many cases. So I believe that this teaching is important, and Jesus wants us to use our eyes for the light and not the darkness. Let me just read the scripture, and then we'll look at a video here. Jesus says this, Matthew 13:15. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible besides Jesus crying. Like, this is sad, right? Jesus says, Matthew 13:15. Jesus is speaking about people's eyes here. And he says, for the people's heart, he's like talking about people all around, the people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. You know, I know he's speaking spiritually here, but he's saying that they've shut their eyes. And if they had opened their eyes, otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would cure them. This is what Jesus is saying about our eyes. My encouragement to you is, let us not be a people who close our eyes, but let us be a people who open our eyes to godly purposes. I'm going to show a quick video, and as you watch this video, I want you to reflect on what it would look like to see the world for the first time through God's eyes. Your eyes, they were made in the image of God. And what would it look like if today you were to open your eyes and you would see the world through God's eyes? If you could play the video. Thank you.
would it be like if you you suddenly use your eyes for God's purposes? If you started to take in that light, and then you open your eyes and you see like the world in a whole new way. Like, what would that be like? There's so many videos out there. I watch it. I cry like every. I'm actually slightly colorblind, and so I don't know what I'm seeing and what I don't like. But if you were to suddenly like see the world like in a way that God sees the world, and if you used your eyes the way that God originally intended your eyes. Your eyes were made in the image of God, and He has a higher calling, a higher purpose for your eyes. And this is a message that Jesus wants us to hear, and that I want you to hear this morning. So I want to ask you to reflect upon Jesus' words here. What does it mean to have the light inside of you? And more importantly, like, do you have the light of God inside of you? Are you living your life in such a manner that God will look into your eyes and He'll see like this light inside of you, the light that illuminates your whole body, as Jesus says? Pastor John MacArthur, he's an amazing pastor, and he says this. He says, it was never an issue of the light. The light has always been there. What Jesus is referring to is an issue of sight. Not an issue of light, but it's an issue of sight. Wake up and open your eyes. Like, the light is there. God is just waiting for you to open your eyes and take in His glory and take in His redemption, to take in the goodness that God offers us and to see the world the way that God sees it. These are our eyes. We're stuck with them, guys. Like, you may be able to put on glasses and see different, but God is saying, put on His eyes, and see the world through His eyes. This is the message for this morning. Use your eyes for the glory of God, and keep your eyes like fixed on Christ as you run this race. We're gonna enter into a time of prayer right now as the worship team leads us in just a melodic worship, actually. As we pray, like, if you would like to confess to God that you have not used your eyes for His glory, or perhaps you're taking in darkness in your eyes, like, now is the time to confess to God. Or perhaps you're here and you know that you have darkness inside of you, and you want to have that redemption of God inside of you. You want to call God your Savior. You want to receive His inheritance, and you want to receive His love. You want to receive the truth that will set you free. And now is the time to call upon that. I will ask everybody if you'll just close your eyes. And just out of respect for everyone, if everyone will close your eyes. Right now, if that's you, if you need to confess to God, I invite you to do that. If you need to ask God to come into your life and give you this redemption, this salvation, then now's your time to do that. I'll close this out in a couple of minutes. Spend this time now in prayer with God. Darkness, God, that we may have taken into our life, God, we pray for your help, God, to fight the darkness, Father, to keep our eyes fixed upon you, Father. Help us to change our heart, Father, where we desire to take in light over the darkness, Father. Reveal to us, Father, your truth. Reveal to us, Father, your grace. Reveal to us, Father, your love that far surpasses the darkness that this world has to offer. I pray for strength. I pray for faith. I pray, God, that eyes be open. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer and these praises to you, Father. Thank you for your word. Help us to remember, Father, to use our eyes for your glory, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Super.